everyone. I really appreciate you tuning in to Ugly Brown Boy. That would be me. This is a weekly podcast with a new episode every Tuesday on all podcast platforms, as well as YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Why Ugly Brown Boy? It's because of how this world and how people have often made me feel. It's how I make myself feel. These are my struggles, and these are my stories from the way I see them. Are you ready? Hey everyone, how's it going? Thank you again for joining me for another episode of Ugly Brown Boy. I guess since this is technically episode number one, I want to start giving a background story of who I am and how I got here, and just talk about my origins. So I was born in Manila, Philippines. For those of you that don't know where that is, it's an archipelago. It's a group of islands that goes down the east coast of the Asian continent, and it's about a three or four hour flight south of Tokyo. So from Manila to Tokyo, it's about 3 hours or so. So I was born there. I grew up in Manila, in this area called Central Market. Central Market is a wet market. It's actually a wet and a dry market. So think of Fulton Fish Market in New York City back in the day. It's not like that now, but I think on the West Coast there may be fish markets that have actual people with fresh fish and that kind of thing. In Chinatown, you'll see stuff like that. But imagine like a really big structure, no AC or anything, so the air kind of gets trapped inside this structure, and it's really, really hot, and it's just really big fans that circulate the air and allow you to breathe a little bit, but the smell is pretty oppressive. And that's what I remember, right? I still find it to be really fascinating. To be honest with you, going into wet markets and seeing fresh fish and fresh meat, and all the vendors have these like wands with tassels on them waving the flies away, and like everything is fresh, right? It's also a dry market in another section, so imagine selling rice and preserved food and that sort of thing. So you've got the wet and the dry market, each of them with its own distinct smells. And as a kid, I remember going to these places, and Central Market to me was enormous. And along Quezon Boulevard, where my aunt had her shop, she owned and still owns clothing stores in Manila. So she had a shop there. We lived in the tenement. It was like, it's like row houses, just like one after the other. It looks like one long building from the outside, but it's all divided sections
about, I want to say, 4 or 5-story homes, right? And so the store, my aunt's store, was on the first floor, and on the second floor was where I would spend my summer vacations, and also where I spent the first 4 years of my life. And back then, when I was a kid, I don't really have a lot of recollection of my first 4 years, only a few photos, and that's it. But my parents used to send me to the Philippines for summer vacation. And looking back on that, it was really, really spectacular. I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But we would go back every summer for like 2 months. We'd spend it there. And June, July, August is the rainy season there. So I'm in Florida now, so think of hurricane season down here, right? So it's similar to that. It's just like rain every day. Like, you can count on like torrential downpours in the afternoons every day. And it's a lot like that here now. So I guess that's another reason I love being here in Orlando so much, because the climate is really similar and it reminds me a lot of my childhood. And I love summer, as some of you already know. I just love the sunshine. So I would spend my summer vacations there, and even the stretch of Quezon Boulevard where all the row houses would be lined up and there would be stores underneath every building. And it was so vibrant and it was so lively when I returned there every year as a kid in elementary school, middle school, high school. And it just gave me the most spectacular memories. And it was something that I really looked forward to every year. My parents generously and diligently sent us back there every year so that we preserved our identity. They allowed us to preserve our identity, even though we grew up here in the States. So I just remember, you know, every morning we would get pandesal, which is pan is bread and sal is salt. So literally it's translated to salt bread, but it's this beautifully, I don't know, it's like a cloud of bread on the inside, and then outside is, it's not a hard shell, it's just like really squishy and really spongy, but there's a little bit of crispness on the outside when it's cooked perfectly. And we would go every morning to get that, and so I would just slather butter all over it, and it was another core memory for me. But all up and down Quezon Boulevard were different kinds of stores, whether they were clothing stores or bakeries or bookstores or toy stores. You know, you name it, you could find everything along this stretch of street. And if you went all the way down, like past the Japanese department store Isetan, that actually still stands there, was a very well-known, really big Catholic church called Gyapo Church, right? So, and then across from Gyapo Church was Far Eastern University, FEU. So a lot of nurses came out of FEU. So when I was an adult and working, I would meet all these nurses when I was living in New York City that went to FEU. So there was always some kind of connection that I could make with other Filipinos when I was living in New York. So I don't know, it was an interesting and absolutely phenomenal part of my life growing up. And so every summer, this place that we visited seemed like the center of the world, you know, like in this small third world country, if you want to call it that. It was just a remarkable place to spend time. So it was my Tita Zenny who owned the store, and then my grandmother, who all of us called Ina, which means mother in Tagalog, in Filipino. We called her Ina, and, you know, we got to spend our summers with her there, and then at other points of the year, she would come and visit us in the States, and we were all really, really close to Ina, our grandmother, as young kids. All of us cousins were really tight with one another, and then under the umbrella of my father's family, with her as the matriarch, it was just this beautiful existence in the summer times. So the store that my aunt owned was a clothing store, and you know, it wasn't high fashion by any means. Like, it was an open store, so you know, they'd open the gates, they'd set up like halfway into the sidewalk there, so like all of the mannequins would be there and all the clothes would be displayed as you walk in, and also hanging from the rafters. So that's what you would typically see along Quezon Boulevard in Central Market. And I got to grow up and like learn how to sell, I guess, by watching my aunt's head salesperson, Lourdes, sell to these women. So I understood my language. I couldn't speak it yet. In the beginning, when in my younger years, my parents would always speak it at home here in the States, but I never tried speaking it. So this was me. I just spoke English all the time. We were back there recently, and the last time we were back there, Justin and I, was pre-COVID, and it was in 2016, I think. And like, it was a trip that we had planned with a few friends. We went to Manila and we went to Bangkok and Phuket. So all this time, all these years of going back to the Philippines, going back to Manila, like, I just lost track of this childhood fairy tale, this land of, it was like a land of make-believe, you know, and it just existed in my memories. And then this trip back in April, I told Justin, I was like, we need to go back to Central Market so I can show you where I basically grew up and spent my summers every year. So we went back, and it was great because, you know, we were with Tita Sani, and we were driving to Central Market. I can't remember like areas of the city and stuff like that. I only know what GPS tells me, but luckily Kuyahari knew how to get there. So we drove there, and then there's this, you pass Kiapo Church and FEU, and then you go down into this underpass that I remember so vividly, because you would have to take the underpass down, and then it would go back up, and then you'd have to circle back in order to park in front of the store or the apartment building. And then the same, like when you were going somewhere and leaving Central Market, you'd have to go back down into the underpass. And like rainy season, it was always flooded. The word for that, like when there's flooding, is called baha. So like there was always baha in front of the store, and especially the underpass, because the infrastructure wasn't so great back when I was younger. And I don't know if it was fixed, but we were not there during rainy season. So it was like the middle of the summer that we were just there. So it was sweltering hot. And we went and parked just a few, a few buildings away from where I spent my summers. And my aunt was like, do you know where to go? I was like, yeah, I know where to go. Like, I remember, like, the address, 955 Cousin Boulevard, like, that was ingrained into my memory, you know, because, like, I would send packages there, I would write letters to my grandmother, all of that stuff. So so I had the address memorized. So, you know, Justin and I were walking along, and I was videotaping, and I was taking pictures, and the height of the ceilings were not as high as I remember them, but you know, I was a kid, but they just seemed so much smaller than I remember. And I was looking at the house numbers, and we came up to 965, I think, or 962, where my aunts used to live. And so I knew that 955 was just a couple of buildings away. And as we approached it, nothing looked familiar. Like the hustle and bustle and the colorful clothing stores were not lining the street, the sidewalk anymore. It was old and run down. I mean, as expected, you know, it hasn't become one of those gentrified areas. But I remember looking up and seeing the windows that were made specifically for the apartment. And I remember them because I was there when they were being fitted and being made. And so there were these, like, there was spindled wood, like, cut in half and put up against the panes of glass, and these windows would open up out or in, I can't remember, but there was also like full spindled wood that was completely open, so it just let air in. So like it was wonderful because when it rained, like you could smell the rain, and just more beautiful sensory memories from that. So you know, I looked up and it was like where I grew up that seemed like this enormous building, even though it was just five stories, seemed like it was dwarfed by time. And it was, in a way, kind of heartbreaking seeing that. But the nostalgia, like what I felt in my heart, was so special. And, you know, living in America since I was 4 years old, and just forgetting about this place for so long, coming back to it, and you know, in the car on the way there, Kuyahari was playing like soft rock hits of back in the day, and funk and soul hits that like these stores would have like blasting onto the sidewalk, and you'd pass a store with the music playing and then another store with different music playing, but this one station that we were listening to on the way to Central Market, it was playing all of those hits from back then. And man, like everything just came rushing back to me. Like our walks down to National Bookstore, or our walks down to visit another family member that had a store. You know, I'm sure that store, if we went to visit it that day, would have felt super, super small as well, even though as a kid it was like this enormous store. But the essence of this memory, or these cumulative memories, like year after year after year, really solidified something in me. And my parents knew this, especially my dad. Like, my dad knew that this would create something for his kids that tied them to that land and to the smell and to the sounds and to the traditions of that country. And even though I grew up speaking English, I somehow found a way to learn how to speak Tagalog fluently. And so when I came back again for university after high school, it helped a lot, you know, and just having that identity and being able to immerse myself, not just being present in the country, but also being able to communicate with the people of my country of origin, made it all the more, I don't know, special and connected. And I don't know how to describe it. I mean, when you're a child of immigrants hear your parents do everything they can to give you a life that you may or may not have been afforded if you had stayed. And, you know, you learned how to speak English, you learned how to sound like an American, you learned how to walk like an American, but you're not, because you're brown, or your facial features are different, your eyes are different, your lips are different, like everything about you is different. So what do you do, you know, as an immigrant yourself? What do you do when you look so much more different than the kids that you go to school with, and they don't know what to do and how to talk to you and how to treat you, and all they know how to do is to make fun of you because they don't know any better? So going back and making that spiritual connection with my homeland was the beginning of identifying myself as myself. Like, I obviously, I'm not white, and as much as I may have wished to be, there is nothing to change that. So I had to change the way I looked at things. And it's difficult. It was difficult to grow up in this country at that time when there weren't a lot of people that looked like me. It's kind of like being gay in this country, you know. Like, now, if you're gay or whatever you want to be, it's okay because people pave the way for you. But you out there, as the younger generations of the LGBTQ plus community, you don't know, like most people don't know the battles that were fought to get the acceptance that you have today. You just reap the benefits of all of those years and decades of fighting for equal rights. So, you know, on many levels, it's like that for me, from my perspective, you know, like looking back at what I had to go through. So I don't know, it's really interesting. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I think the challenges that I faced were really enriching, and the challenges that I face today, I don't know, like, Will I be able to say that this was enriching? I don't know. It doesn't feel enriching right now. But, you know, I'm here, and I started this podcast so I could shed a little light on my perspective, and hopefully there are a bunch of you out there as well that share the same perspective. So I encourage you, if you're watching this, or when you start watching this, message me, comment, and let me know what your questions are, and let me know what you want to hear about, because my stories that I have to tell could also be yours, and it would be interesting for me to know what kind of connections I'm making with any number of you out there. So you are listening to Ugly Brown Boy on all podcast channels, as well as YouTube, Instagram, TikTok eventually. But I really appreciate you guys taking this time to listen, and I hope this podcast piques your interest somehow. I am excited to just speak into the airwaves and tell my story. So hopefully I'll get your feedback as well, and we can go on the journey together. So in the meantime, I will sign off, and I will see you next Tuesday. Thanks for listening.